Remember last week's fears that the government was headed for a shutdown?
Oh, sure.
Our leaders in both parties, on behalf of all Americans, showed they could come together, compromise.
That's White House advisor David Plouffe. He seems happy, and so does lawmaker Paul Ryan of the GOP.
I feel like we had a pretty good outcome. We represented one-third of the negotiators, but we got two-thirds of the spending cuts we were asking for.
So the government's open and everyone's satisfied. Well, not quite. Here's Republican Jeff Sessions.
This budget that the president has already submitted a few weeks ago is the most irresponsible budget ever submitted to the American people.
He's talking about the budget for 2012, but don't worry. The debate over next year's budget will go just as smoothly as this year's. Oh, God. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Monday, April 11th.
I say give those folks in Washington something to do. Keep them occupied. And that's the top of the morning's news. With the shutdown averted, the government is looking forward. President Obama now looking ahead to the country's long-term financial agenda. Advisor David Plouffe told Fox News later this week, the president will present his own multi-year debt reduction plan.
He'll lay out his approach this week in terms of the scale of debt reduction he thinks the country needs so we can grow economically and win the future. A balanced approach.
We'll have more details on that plan and the agenda coming up this hour. The president's budget proposal is expected to put new limits on Medicare and Medicaid, and the president will also suggest reportedly changes to Social Security and tax increases for the wealthiest Americans.
A 7.1 magnitude earthquake shook Japan this morning. A tsunami warning was briefly issued. Today's aftershock comes on the one-month anniversary of the earthquake and tsunami that left 28,000 people missing or dead. The operators of the Fukushima nuclear complex said power was cut during the aftershock, but then quickly restored. Workers were evacuated, but there appeared to be no new damages at the troubled plant. Earlier, Japan had extended the evacuation zone around that plant.
Big developments in Libya over the weekend. Muammar Gaddafi has accepted a political roadmap proposed by the African Union. The plan calls for an immediate ceasefire, cooperation with humanitarian aid groups, and dialogue with the rebels, but it doesn't require Gaddafi to step down. Guma El-Gamati, a representative of the Libyan opposition, tells our partner, the BBC, that any deal that keeps Gaddafi or his sons in power is unacceptable.
Gaddafi and his sons have no legitimacy in Libya anymore, and nobody is willing to do business with them. They are part of the problem. They cannot be part of the solution, and they have to leave.
The rebel forces made new advances over the weekend when NATO stepped up airstrikes in the city of Ajdabia.
Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has agreed to cooperate with prosecutors investigating his finances. In a televised address, Mubarak said he has only one bank account in Egypt and nothing in foreign bank accounts. He said he and his family were hurt by allegations of corruption.
In Ivory Coast, the United Nations and France fired rockets on incumbent President Laurent Gbagbo's residence. Gbagbo has been living in a bunker in Abidjan for nearly a week. And France's ban on full-face veils goes into effect today. It's the first measure of its kind in Europe. French Muslim leaders are calling on people to challenge the law.
In an amazing Masters, 26-year-old South African golfer Charles Schwartzel came out of nowhere to win the Masters tournament this weekend by two strokes. Tiger Woods finished in a tie for fourth place. And gas prices are up 19 cents per gallon. That's up 91 cents from a year ago. In the markets, Asian markets and European indices are mixed. Futures are up right now. The Dow starts at 12,380, the S&P at 1,328, the NASDAQ at 2780. Well, later this morning, we're going to talk about the importance of a great editor.
The editor's job is to be the writer's perfect reader.
That is Michael Peach. He's the editor responsible for bringing David Foster Wallace's posthumous book, The Pale King, onto shelves this week. He did a lot more than just edit, though. He pretty much finished the story that was unfinished when David Foster Wallace passed away. That's coming up later this hour. First, though, the drama in D.C. over the budget. We're not talking about last week's. That one's done. What about the next drama?
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.